How are you, mate?
Oh yeah, I'm all good. I'm all good. It is very. Oh, we should. Why don't we start the actual podcast now? Like, as in, while we're doing this catch up.
Okay, cool. So, do you want to do the welcome, or should I? You do the welcome.
Okay. Welcome to the first ever Golf Fizz podcast, live from isolation and quarantine. So I'm Andy, but we'll get into that in a second. Also, right now, this is Michael. Michael, hello. Can you hear me there?
I can hear you loud and clear. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good, good. What's the situation like where you are? Because it's a very, very strange world.
Yeah, so for those outside of New Zealand that are listening to this, New Zealand, as of 11:59 p.m. last night, went into what's known as a level four alert level, which means complete and utter shutdown. So every New Zealand citizen is required to stay at home and not go out unless it's absolutely essential. So for food or medical emergency, basically, you are locked down. So my situation, Andy, is I am currently in what you know as the cabana, which is our little workspace here at my home, 10 meters square with a couch and a computer. And I'm here at home with my wife and two young boys. So,
Yeah, what's that like?
okay, so we've got another at least 4 weeks of this.
This is literally day one. This is day
Day
one.
one. If I'm allowed to swear momentarily, holy shit, they've been watching too much TV already.
Oh, yeah.
And so we are, yeah, we're going to have to get very creative. And we're looking forward to the challenge, but so far we've just been like, ugh, let's just put the TV on. I can't
Yeah,
be bothered.
sure.
I
'Cause
can't be bothered to deal with it.
is there a thing, because I'm noticing this on Facebook a fair bit, is there a thing within like parent world, because I'm not a parent, where there's like a little competition to how well parents can parent during this time? Because there's all these videos that's like super parents and super moms have set up obstacle courses through their attics and all this sort of stuff. Like, is that any pressure that you feel as a parent?
What you mean between parents or between between couples or between parents outside
I guess
their
say
family?
parents versus parents.
Right. Well, I can't speak. I don't really compare notes with other, I have to say, with other guys, but I know that my wife and her network of friends, they are swapping stories at the moment.
Oh, yucky,
And there's some cool, funny stories already. But I think the really awesome thing is people are sharing ideas. And to
yucky,
be given some time to do this podcast, my wife is doing what's known as a bear hunt right now. So
yuck.
you're allowed out into the streets by yourself just to get a little bit of exercise, a little bit of fresh air in your own neighborhood. And what people are doing is they're putting teddy bears or toys in their windows. And so as the kids walk down the street, instead of being able to interact with people and say hello and play in playgrounds, they're looking out for bears in people's windows and houses and things. Oh, that's really cool.
Well,
So
that's very sweet.
that's a neat little creative idea, I think.
Yeah, that's quite cool. There's going to be some interesting little on the other side of this, some interesting little changes to society. Like, I don't know, will we go to concerts the same way, do you think?
I don't know. Well, this is the thing. I think actually a lot of businesses will be like, shit, we actually didn't need to hire that many people to work in our office.
Yeah.
We can do this stuff remotely. And
Yeah.
of course, the other thing is people might not want to go back to their office. It's like, no, I'm kind of cool working from home today, boss. So that's going to be, but I have to say, doing what we're doing, I think we're one of like a trillion people right now that are starting a podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that's the new hobby, isn't it? The new thing.
Yeah, for sure. And
So,
what you're saying there about working from home, you should see the flat here. It is absolute chaos. Like we've got literally six screens set up in the living area. We've got a dude with noise cancelling headphones down there working for his data analytics company. I don't even know what they do. He's in there doing conference calls 10 hours a day. We've got another dude who works for Vodafone in the other corner of the room. We had a doctor on the couch. She's there doing all sorts of shit, but it was too much for her, so she's gone to Waihi, which is a lovely beach spot. She's grabbed it to there before quarantine kicked in. My partner Sarah, she's considered critical because she's a vet nurse. She's there fixing cats, and then the other one, she's a vet nurse as well, so she's off fixing cats. So this house is crazy. I've set up a driving range in the front lawn.
I've seen your Instagram story. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. What's your Instagram handle, quick, so people
Oh
can go and see that?
go at NZ Andy Wright on Instagram. I might have to save that because by the time this actually goes out, it might be not on the 24-hour thing. But yeah,
Oh, I
I've just
see.
got an old marquee and I just stuck a little mink sheet up in it and
Mink.
mink and just started firing three irons straight down the guts.
Woo. I noticed that your lounge glass window is if you shank it, you're in trouble.
Oh yeah, well,
You're in trouble.
the guy who works for Vodafone had to go over a couple of lazy eight irons, and I was like, no, 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 not you, not you. And he caught one a little skinny straight under the net, into the window at the back. Didn't break.
So if you were looking for peace and quiet in the next 4 weeks, you're kind of screwed. Your house sounds crazy.
Yeah, you need noise-canceling headphones. Yesterday, trying to watch a movie in that living room where everyone is, I had to go through the PlayStation that's there, plug the headphones in, and use the in-ear ones so that everyone on their conference calls, I could still watch the movie. Like, this is some real, like, futuristic shit going on in our house. It's crazy. It's honestly crazy.
Okay, so to describe your podcasting setup, describe to me where you are, what you're doing. How does it look right now?
Well, a fair bit of thought went into this because I wanted it to look, well, I wanted it to be as easy as plug and play. It needed to be plug and play. I've just got my laptop on my little sort of thing at the end of the bed, like a little shelving at the end of the bed. Laptop's there. That's plugged into a little interface thing that makes the microphone work. I'm sat up in this leather chair, which you can kind of hear there, in the corner, which is like a little reading chair. Never read in it, but it's for decor. You know what it's like having a partner. She's like, oh, we need a reading chair. Like, no, you don't. And we've got a little microphone up, and I'm just like sitting in my room like a weirdo, seemingly talking to myself. Is this kind of enjoyable for you? Because you're a man who spends a lot of time locked in a studio by himself.
This is just normal day for me. The only thing is it's ever so slightly quieter outside.
Mm.
And I've got the kids coming into the office saying, Dad, can we do this? Dad, look at this. Dad, look at that every 3 seconds. But apart from that, it's just normal.
Yeah.
It's normal life for me. Yeah. We should probably explain that this, I know we've just rambled for 8 minutes, but this is actually, we are a golf podcast, believe it or not.
Yes.
We're all about golf. This is the central, you know, idea behind this is to deliver a viewpoint about golf from down under. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So could you explain, like, what, we've got time. I mean, I'm not going anywhere if you're not. have you got coronavirus, by the way?
I've got just I've got a bog standard cold. Like, I've got the opposite of the coronavirus symptoms. I've got no fever. I've got the runny nose. I've got the awesome voice for radio today. But no, I've just got an annoying cold. So even though I'm, I've not been outdoors in the last 3 or 4 days, not because I've got the COVID-19, but because if I cough even slightly, people look at me like, what the F are you doing outside? You arsehole.
Yeah.
So yeah, bog standard cold, sorry. Feeling actually really fine. Check my temperature constantly. I'm normal. But if things get changed, I will do the right thing. But right now, I'm just annoyingly got a cold.
There'd be a hell of a launch. Yeah. There'd be a hell of a launch if the first podcast launched with someone with coronavirus.
I tell you what, that'd be a global exclusive, wouldn't it? That'd be fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Woo. It was a little bit dystopian, actually. Just speaking of everyone staring at you strangely, went for a run this morning, and there was – it's pretty weird. I know you formerly a very long-distance runner. I was doing just my little 6Ks, and – as soon as you run down a path, one lady just put her mask up over her face when she saw me. And everyone's going like, why? Yeah. People are crossing roads just to avoid you running past them.
Yeah, I have this vision of like people doing like weird zigzags constantly and actually end up sort of whacking into each other because I don't know. Do you call out like on your left? We used to, when I was running long distance events through trails, we used to say on your left, to give the people in front of you a warning that you are coming through on their right or something or whatever. I forget what you used to say, but do you have like a something you say or are you just...
Nah, everyone's just sort of subconsciously just going, get out of the way. It's a very weird, like it's like you're in a movie. It's a strange feeling out there. Yeah. But anyway, sorry, back to golf.
Yes,
Can you, because you're the genesis of this whole operation that we're kind of have launched and relaunching and podcasting about now. Golf is... What is that? How have you come to all this? Because you have a very strange history, and this is manifest in a very unique way.
Okay, we might delve into my strange history over time. Well, I guess the genesis was this. I mean, I love the game, but I have no skin in it. I'm not a player. I'm just a huge fan. I never played golf when I was younger much. Only recently got a proper fitted set of clubs, but I just love the game. I consume and watch far too much of it on television and on the internet. And my background's in film and television and media. And I thought, how can I find a way of integrating what I do into the world of golf? And so I had a look and saw some big gaps in the delivery of golf content. And I see an awful lot for the pro world you know, there's endless stuff coming out from the PGA and the European Tour, and it's great stuff. I just love the coverage of golf. But what was missing was more of an entertainment angle and content that I felt reflected the type of golfer that I was, which is somebody that's terrible or keen or just loves
the
game. I like how
those are the two words you chose. Terrible, yeah, but keen.
Well, I'm going to say that because you have got me hostage. You have a piece of footage, which I really hope doesn't get out, of one of my lesser fine moments with the driver. Yes. And, you know, the passion is there. The skill is not at the stage. And I came up with things a little bit in reverse. Came up with a brand first. I was hearing a lot of people say they were fizzing when they were playing golf. And I went, and we describe ourselves as golfers and fizzing in the game. And I went, hang on a minute. If you combine those two, fizz and golf, and you get golfers, and then it's a clever play upon the word, I thought.
If I'm being devil's advocate, is fizzing a word prevalent in mostly New Zealand, or is fizzing like a word? I don't really see Tiger saying fizzing.
Good question. I've heard it globally. I don't know if I've heard it necessarily associated exclusively with golf, but I have heard somebody describe themselves as fizzing. I don't know. Yeah. That's a really good question. Maybe somebody could let us know if it's a word that's used in their hometown or their country. I know. I just heard it so much. I heard it so much locally, and when I started telling people I was hearing it, they started to hear it a lot as well. I mean, oh my God, yes, I'm hearing that. Ah, that's very clever. You picked up on that. So I'm going to take the full credit for linking those two together and coming up with that brand. But basically, it was a way of saying, hey, if you feel this way about the game, that's how I feel about the way about this game, and that's the brand I wanted to use to wrap around entertaining golf content. Yeah. How did I do that? Was that a
that's coherent. I mean,
flu ridden.
Yeah, more of this will flesh out over time, no doubt. But fascinating to me is when I first met you, when I really couldn't put you. With most people, you can put them in some type of category. You know, it's like, well, this person is.
Sane.
That's one thing. Yeah, okay. Coherent. Attached to reality. But I was like, okay, he loves golf, but he doesn't play. Immediately, I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. What is it about it that you just love so much, but you don't actually, you do participate, don't get me wrong, you do play, but that's not really your source of joy. What is it?
I honestly don't know. Like my first memories around watching golf were, in my family, the only people that had the equivalent of cable or Sky TV, subscription-based TV when I was much, much younger was my grandparents. And I think my parents used to dump me off for the weekends as often as possible with my grandparents to stay. And they didn't know what to do with me in the morning, so they put on Sky Sport. And in the mornings, which is the equivalent of late in the round in America, was the PGA Tour. Mm. And I started getting to know the great names of that era of PGA Tour players. I got to know the names. I got to know their histories and their stories and the way the broadcasters would describe the golf courses. Yeah, I just found myself being completely enamored by that and just wanted to consume more and more of it.
Hi there, this is Michael. Sorry for the interruption. When I was listening back to the recording prior to publishing, I noticed coming up there was a bit of a sync issue, bit of a software problem, and it sounds like occasionally that we're talking over each other. It doesn't last too long, so please stick with it. Cheers.
And I happen to be the same age as Tom.
Not that you know. Oh, God. He never brings it up.
I never bring it up. But, I mean, that meant that I was, hand in hand with his emergence. You know, I was watching him as somebody that could go, wow, this guy's my age. And look at what he's doing. He's tearing it up. He's, you know, become, you know, for a while there, the world, you know, maybe he's even still the world's greatest sports person and the greatest golfer of all time, arguably. So, you know, that's been an incredible journey to watch over the last sort of 20 odd years. So, yeah, I can't quite put my finger on it, but it was just that watching hours of it and falling in love with the older name players, the names that you probably wouldn't know, but you know, from that old era.
Who was that Japanese guy when we were at the President's Cup 2019 at Melbourne? Who was the Japanese?
I think it was
what was his name again?
Isao Aoki was an absolute bloody legend and still is of the game. And, you know, one of the first Japanese players, I believe, to make a breakthrough on the PGA Tour. And had an incredible putting style, just a really great personality as well. So had nothing and no mentoring or no access to golf any way when I was younger. So I had to basically enjoy the game from the
side.
Yeah,
the look on your face when you saw the Japanese dude, that was priceless. You were like, dude, that was bloody, what was his face? Whatever you said just before. You were losing it.
Yeah. It meant a lot. So that's kind of my loose story. Again, it'll be fleshed out over time, but you are not the same age as Tiger.
Well, actually, fun, interesting that you say that. Speaking of Japanese golfers, I found out this morning, and it broke my heart because I still feel like I'm 14. So when I'm driving around in the car, I'm still like, yeah, that's right, legally I'm allowed. I've got my license. but now I'm 28. And I realized today that guess who's younger than me?
Half the PGA Tour. Morikawa?
Matsuyama.
Who? Matsuyama.
Hideki Matsuyama is younger than me. He's born in 1992.
Woo!
That is ridiculous. I was talking to my mate about this a while back, and like working in radio and in other places I was working, I was always the young kid. So it was always like, oh, he's good for his age. You know, he's great for his age. And now I'm in the open division. So it's just, you just got to be good. 25 to 35 is a weird time because you still feel like you're 19, 20, but you kind of have to behave like you're 40, and it's like, ah.
Well, you can behave like me. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with behaving like me. And I'm in the Masters division. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, one thing about Michael, though, is that he may be in his 40s, but you have the hair of a 13-year-old boy that hasn't had it chopped for the winter. How have you got such black hair?
I've got no idea. It's very thick as well. It's got a mind of its own. Now, you alluded before, buddy. Let's hear. I want to hear more about your background. Like, I've only known you for a few months, but I spotted you as incredible talent, both on the radio and doing some great content out there. You're doing some great golf content. But tell people who surprisingly don't know who you are.
You are delightfully flattering. Where to start? Basically, I'm from the middle of nowhere. The best way to think about it, if for people who may not be familiar with New Zealand, basically where the Shire in Lord of the Rings was filmed, I'm from there. So I'm actually from what now they actually call Hobbiton. True story. So I'm
have you got the same
people ask me that. Unfortunately, they're not big, but they are hairy. So that's a problem. But yeah, I regularly refer to myself when I was a kid as scum of the earth. We were poor people living out in the hills on a farm. Lovely people, best intentions, but I imagine if we went to somewhere flash, they'd look at us and go, that is scum. Look at those people. Just like classic, like cutting your own hair when you're a kid, like all that sort of stuff. Driving around on motorbikes. We had like, I think it was 150 acres and 250 cows, and the golf course down the road from our place was $10 a year, which in British pounds is about £5 a year to play, or whatever that is in America. What's that in American dollars?
Well, dude, our dollar just has just crashed completely. It's probably I'll give you an idea, right? The new keyboard associated with the new iPad, right? The keyboard, the wireless keyboard.
This is in New Zealand dollars?
And New Zealand dollars. If you want to buy not the iPad, but the new keyboard.
Now, when people do this, I get angry. I get concerned that I'm going to overshoot it and then make your punchline bad. So I'm going to go. I wouldn't want to pay any more than $150 for a blooming keyboard for an iPad.
Well over $500. In fact, I think that's for the 10.9 inch, whatever it is, version. The bigger one's like over $600 for the keyboard. For the keyboard.
Are we screwed? Like, as a country, New Zealand, are we screwed?
Really good question. Apparently, you know, this is not a banking system crisis. So apparently we've been very good at terms of our country's debt, and our banks are in pretty good shape. So the short answer is our country can possibly deal with this better than most. Everybody's affected. We're affected. You know what's happening with what we have been doing. And this is a tough time. But, I mean, at the moment, the way New Zealand is looking at this, we've got one chance to lock this shit down, get rid of this damn virus out of our country, and lead the way in terms of how to deal with this, which is complete eradication, self-isolation, thinking like you have it, and protecting your friends and family by keeping the hell away from them while this is going on. So very serious times, but we will survive this. We'll get to the end.
It seems big strange thing is, like, it seems to be a paradox or juxtaposition between, you know, saving the economy by literally sitting inside on your bum eating food. You're like, this isn't what heroes do.
Yeah, this is unprecedented in human history. The entire planet has got this one big issue. So
we didn't leave the six. So that's where I started golf at age eight. And then, so I'm the youngest of four. My oldest, my sister Alison, then Richard, then Paul. And then I realized as I was kind of verging out of the age group stuff into the open division that I need to do something else because this pro stuff, I just don't think I've got the commitment and I don't think I have the... And I wasn't willing to make the sacrifices necessary, and I didn't enjoy the solitude in the practice. And then I realized I was too much of a people person. Right. From there, I was cleaning a supermarket after school, pushing around the little washing machine thing. Yeah. So I'd push that I'd get my $9 an hour, and then I'd blow that on a Big Ben pie and a V on the way home, which was ridiculous, stupid. But the iPod Nano had just come out. I would plug that into my iTunes and download podcasts from these Aussie guys called Hamish and Andy. And then from there, I'd listen to that. And then for the first time ever, that was the first time I think I had heard people kind of speak the way I thought, because I always thought I was a bit weird at school. But then I heard these guys speak, and I was like, oh, they're weird like me. I was like, these are my boys. And then that led me into wondering more, I get curious about them. Turns out they worked on radio and did television in Australia, which was syndicated to New Zealand. And then I thought, well, let's try and get a job in radio. Crazy how that all unfolded, but then contacted someone within the industry, had a very successful career. Turns out I went to the ball with his niece, and then that got me the in. Contacted him, he got me some work experience, so on and so forth. Next thing you know, I'm living at the bottom of New Zealand doing some radio shows. A couple of years of that, go to England to do some radio shows, then come back to New Zealand again in 2015, end up on the radio here, boom, and then did radio for another 4 or 5 years, and then boom, here we are as making our own stuff, and I'm also back playing golf again, and I love it. You and I are very different when it comes to our extroversion, introversion. So, but you can occupy both as needed. So when you're playing golf, it's quite interesting. You really are conscious of people watching you hit a shot, eh?
Yeah, hate it. Well, no, I just think about, like, here's the thought process. I go, don't think about it. Oh, shit, I've just thought about them watching me. And I can't get that out of my damn head. If I could somehow get rid of the thought of thinking, don't worry that they're watching you, and just if I could clear that, I'd be fine. But I just cannot get rid of this idea that those people, they're watching me.
What matters about them watching you?
Nothing. It's just that we all have this fear in front of people. I mean, I don't know if we all do, but I do, about not hitting a decent shot. I mean, it's pretty natural, right? So I just don't have the consistency to know what the hell is going to happen when I hit that ball. That's why, prior to playing with you, I've almost exclusively played by myself or just with randoms at a public course who I do my own thing while they do their thing. So yeah, it's getting better. It's getting better, but as the skill level is improving, but yeah,
so it's still not very much. What do you think would be needed for you to be able to enjoy playing with others more?
I don't know. I guess it's to do with the expectation that I rock up with. Like because I've been working on my game, and you know, I've sort of developed an expectation that I'll see improvements. And I think that the come down is quite rapid when I'm not seeing that, you know, on a round. If I go to a range and I have a great session, like, wow, I want to transfer this to the course. And the next day you're on the course, and it's like, what happened? I was so good yesterday.
When I trained up for a tournament a while back now, as I was getting back into the game, and you know, I didn't play that well because it's my first tournament playing in quite a few years. But to try and get over that sense of expectation, what I was doing in the range was I'd pick two spots in the range with five balls, and I had to hit at least three of them through this relatively tight gap with the three wood. Now, if it missed, if I got through my five balls and only two of them went through and three missed, I had to do 10 push-ups in my bay and not make a sound and just look like an absolute weirdo. That was good because that gave me an element of punishment. So I looked like a dick. So I was kind of leaning into that you look like a dick thing.
Right. That comes naturally to me on a golf range. But yeah, I can see.
Yeah. Can but see then how the people would, around, like one guy looked down and going, training, are we? Yeah. And I was like, oh God, I look like such a tool. And I just had to look at him and smile and go, yeah. There's a book called Zen Golf, and I'm about 40 pages in.
Yes.
That is so good. Have you read this or heard of this?
It's a very well-known book in the game. So no, I haven't read it.
It's so good. The short of it is a guy, he's like a actual Buddhist, and he uses Buddhist principles because he believes golf is, you know, close, as all sport, because sport is representative of our life's journey, isn't it, at the end of the day? He applies Buddhist principles to his golf coaching, and oh man, some of it gets so deep, and it's, but it's really easy to read. It's not pretentious. It's not like, you know, let's sit around and hold a rope and sing Kumbaya to each other. This is actually like real usable perspective changing stuff. It's really blimmin' good.
This will be some kind of book club. So you're going to have to fill us in next episode about where you've got to and in the book as well. And keep us all while I read and catch up. We should probably mention, let's talk about the current situation of golf.
As in the courses are closed?
Yeah, as in everything. All facilities, all courses, there's nothing. You can't even go to a golf course and have a solo round. I know there are many parts of the world where this is still happening, but right here, everything is locked down. That is not considered an essential service.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of in two minds
because I mean, this is pretty crazy. But golf is probably the only sport where they might be able to play. If you were allowed to play in a group of two, and you know, it was like, keep your distance, don't shake hands, don't tongue kiss each other after 18. Like, wouldn't it be all good? Sort of.
Oh, look, and there could people that could argue that. But I think there has to be a line drawn that, you know, if you do that, then you start getting people going, well, why can't I play? Go swimming, you know, or there's other or surfing or whatever it is, or solo hunting in the bush. And there's all this other stuff. So I'm incredibly sad for the courses and how they're going to be able to deal with this. I think the troubling thing is course maintenance can't happen for at least the next 4 weeks. And that is going to be a very interesting story about how clubs navigate that and survive this. Some clubs are going to find it incredibly difficult to get back to playing conditions in any way, shape, or form in a short space of time, and some this might actually put them, put them at the edge of the business, if not over the,
especially the greens. I mean,
being a viable business. So
you were saying this the other day that a course has to have at least two people out on the golf course at once, or you know, one greenkeeper couldn't just turn up and mow the greens just to keep on top of them. They need to have two there in case that greenkeeper has a heart attack, and there's, you know, you need to have two with you at all times.
I that was the deal up until, I guess, yesterday, I believe. But there was some urgent stuff going out by the relevant associations giving advice on what treatments, fertilizer or not fertilizing, or what chemicals you should use to try and mitigate what's about to happen to those environments over the next little while. So, you know, I'm no expert, but all I know is that no matter what you could do up until yesterday, it is not going to be enough.
4 weeks is a long time, eh?
Good place.
Just for, not just for golf, but in general. Like, I'm looking at that on the calendar just going, wow, that is a legit month. That is a long time to be really up to very little. Anyway, I think something that we probably should cover off is, could we explain, because we've got your context of how you came up with Golf Fizz. So basically just, you know, trying to, Golf Fizz is a podcast. It's a YouTube channel. We've got some stuff up early, but we're kind of reimagining how that's actually going to come across. So this is very early days right now. So Golf Fizz is kind of like the golf content for the every golfer, not the pro game. It's fun. It's accessible. Can you explain the multi different layered thing that we've got going on? Because obviously Golf Fizz right now, we're not making a cent from this podcast. So how do we survive?
Awesome question. So, I mean, yeah, so the challenge was to think, okay, so I want to contribute to the sport that I love, and I want to start something, but I don't know, you know, how I can monetize this, how I can make a living from this. So I started to think about what that might look like. So I started a company called Golf Media Limited, and decided that Golf Media Limited would be kind of like a marketing agency in the digital space for retailers and for brands. And so
if you've got like a shop that sells golf shoes or clubs, come to us and we'll draft up ideas to help you make cool videos and content for your company.
Exactly. So my digital marketing background could easily transfer into the golf space like that with that kind of approach. So that was kind of like the initial plan, was to have this agency idea. And then from there, I thought I need some other sort of sub brands, if you will, to support the different areas of the game that couldn't help. So I thought, okay, so you've got clubs out there. What could we do? What could I do for clubs? And so came up with a brand called Golf Story, which was, as the name suggests, as to how to tell your story. And we sort of market that as a package of content and ideas and support for clubs, courses, and competitions. And at this point, you're involved. So I'm kind of flipping back in history and time. But we went to the PGA in New Zealand here, and New Zealand Golf and others, and said, look, this is what we could offer the industry here. And we've been very successful in launching some content and partnerships. We've been involved in pro-ams, producing great content around pro-ams, and the tour here in New Zealand, which is called the Charles Tour. You know, we've got that up and firing, which is fantastic, and working with other entities. And then the third component, which was, okay, so we're doing stuff for retailers, for brands and businesses. We're doing stuff for clubs, courses, and competitions. How can we create stuff that entertains us? The stuff where we want to have fun, where we can reimagine golf content and entertain people through golf. So golf is a way for us to express our creativity. And then from there, people will go, yeah, I want to be a part of that and make golf the hero at the end of the day. So hence how we came up with the brand Golfers. But I feel like the biggest thing was there was a gap that I saw in the way that golf could entertain people that wasn't stuff just about professionals. That's fundamental. So many people that engage with golf are not interested or are not a part of that world. And what's out there for them? And so I cite, as I've said to you and others, a Top Gear model of entertaining stuff about cars that isn't delivered by people who are ex-racing car drivers.
Yeah, it's just, and they've nailed that, because if you think of cars, you'd say are typically the most like male expression thing. It's like, yep, cars, yep. And that Top Gear show, my partner Sarah, who doesn't care about cars, or partner, fiance, she doesn't care about cars at all, but I don't care about cars, but you can watch Top Gear and have a great time.
Yeah.
And there's nothing like that with golf. Golf is either, as you say, it's all about either at the moment, it's just blimmin' Tiger highlights. Have you seen Golf TV at the moment in the PGA? It's just constant Tiger.
I was going to bring that up. It is, they're trawling the vaults at the moment.
Oh, there's my garage door. Yeah, it's actually a little bit, we love the GOAT. The GOAT is, I wouldn't be here doing this, talking about golf right now, if it wasn't for the GOAT. But it's like, come on, team. You can't. Are they just trying to milk this for as much as they can while they can? Because once he's gone, they know it's stuffed, eh?
I think it's just keeping his brand alive. And let's be honest with you, I still love watching that old stuff. If it didn't make the clicks happen, then they wouldn't put it up there, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit ridiculous how much of the feed socially is Tiger this, Tiger that. I mean, yeah. But
it's good. It's good. We all know it's fun. It's exciting. I think my concern is, where's this go? Are they just going to, one of my mates is a pro, Luke Toomey, pro New Zealand golfer, one of the top New Zealand golfers, and really going places if he sticks at it, which at this point, I think he will. He reckons that we've got Tiger for another 10 years, but the tournaments he'll get more and more picky, where he may even only play the Masters, like in his 50s, where you know how Gary Player still turns up and hits a ball. They reckon we've got another 10 years of actual competitive Tiger who may feature in the top 10.
Wow.
I just don't I don't buy that. I don't know if there is 10 years.
Well, I mean, I was watching, I got through half of the 1998 Masters last night.
of course you did.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I mean, it's not one of the great Masters, but Jack Nicklaus was on the leaderboard and he was in his 50s. I think he was 58 or he was up there, 53, 58 or something like that. Somebody will correct me, but he was in his 50s and he was...
Yeah, but Tiger's made out of metal. I mean, Tiger can barely jump without snapping a bone.
That's true. How old were you in 1998?
What was I? Seven.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Wow. I mean, who knows? I mean, the guy's probably having some kind of, laser cryogenic, this, that, and the other surgery to keep it going. Who knows where he's going to go?
Well, it's one thing.
We just appreciate him while we've got him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, should we consider this the first episode done, because we've got 4 weeks of quarantine here, and we'll catch up. When do you think? Most days? A couple of days? Every second day?
I think every couple of days. Give us a day to experience something. It won't be much.
Yeah.
Give me a chance to finish yet another Masters or something that the European Tour has thrown out for me to watch online in my evenings to talk about. But I think we go every couple of days. Now, the cool thing is you've come up with a really great idea of getting some guests along so we can talk to some other people during this time.
Absolutely. So we've got a golf fitness expert. His name's Paulie. He's an Irishman living in New Zealand, and he knows everything about fitness and things that we could do at home to help maintain a healthy body during this. Also, we've got actually a golf pro on, but this pro was formerly the number one amateur in the world in his heyday of actually playing. He's the coach of Ryan Fox as well, great New Zealand golfer. And Marcus Weirhouse, he's going to join us for a chat, just to things that we can do at home also in this quarantine time to try and keep our swing smooth. And, well, then we'll go from there. Also, we'll have more fascinating insights from my childhood next time, and we'll hear
the Scum Diaries.
Yeah, that would actually be good.
There we go. There's a new sub brand for us,
the Scum Diaries. And actually, sorry, final point, what we're saying about Tiger.
Yeah,
what do you make of his son Charlie? Because
in what way?
Because you see how he's starting to play golf now. Apparently, he's shooting like around 40, 41, 42 for 9 holes, and Tiger's out there caddying for him, which is hilarious and amazing.
Yeah.
Do you reckon they're going to thrust him into the limelight?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of pressure on the chap. I don't know. I mean, we have, I was going to say, there's a loose similarity between Ryan Fox and his dad, because in New Zealand, Ryan Fox grew up in the shadow of his dad being one of the great All Blacks of all time. We've watched and listened and learned about Ryan's story, about how he moved away from rugby and cricket and found golf. So maybe, I don't know, if he does take on golf, then, boy, he's got every resource in the world at his disposal, and Nike will be like, okay, we're going to have to keep on writing the checks. If he doesn't, then he may be a world-class something else. If Tiger's like the dads that I know and know that he would think, I'll just want to support my son in whatever he does. So I think there'll be people out there trying to maybe make it happen or encouraging it. But I think Tiger's smart enough to know that what he has experienced in his life, and he'll know all the pitfalls, the shortcomings, as well as the rewards. And I'm sure that he will manage his son's entry into a sport, if that's what Charlie wants to do, better than most. Again, I got it in twice in one episode.
Yeah, better than most. Yeah.
Better than most. We should probably wrap this up. But what I want to say, I'm going to finish with basically a big shout out to all golfers who are listening who can't get to a course right now. Hopefully this podcast will provide some kind of entertaining relief from that pain. And if you've got any feedback or ideas, please send them through to us. Hit us up on Facebook, hit us up on social media, Instagram. I think if you're listening to this on Anchor, you can message us. So please do that. And I also want to give a shout out to our friends in the industry that are suffering and have suffered. So that's all professional players, the tournaments that have been cancelled, the clubs that we love and associate with. A big shout out to Murawai, Golf Links in Auckland, Akarana, Waitemata, Pakuranga. We've got some friends directly in those clubs and other clubs in New Zealand that are suffering. Retailers like the Club Room that have had to shut down. All the players that have interacted in the last few months as we've been getting to know you and the game more intimately in New Zealand. We just want to thank you for your support, and we look forward to hopefully working with you real soon. So that's all from me, Andy.
And I don't think I could have said that any better. So I'm going to go away, and actually I'm going to sit right here. The microphone is just going to be off, so nothing changes.
And I'm going to go cough my lungs out somewhere, because I've been suppressing it for about an hour or so.
Great, great. Don't do that on your neighbor. Great. She's old.
I'm out in my own backyard. I'm even when I cough, I'm like looking over to see if somebody's aiming something at me. You know what I mean? It's just quite weird. It's quite weird. Thanks for listening, everybody. This has been fun. We can't wait to do more. And we'll I was going to say see you back here soon, but you'll hear us back here soon.
Righto, as you were. Bye.